Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. Most of us immediately think of wolves in sheep's clothing when we hear this verse. Of course, we tend to think of probably a cartoon or a fairy tale when we hear this verse, and probably Wile E. Coyote going after the Roadrunner or something like that. It's usually what immediately comes to mind. But of course, it's not exactly what they were thinking of when they were writing in the New Testament. They were thinking of the Old Testament prophets, of course. And at those times, the prophets wore sheepskins. They tended to wear them. That's what they were talking about. They wore sheep's clothing, basically. And that's what we were talking about here. And the false prophets acted like the true prophets. They also wore sheepskins and sheep's clothing. And they led the people astray from the will of God. And the early church had its share of false prophets as well. They tended to call them heretics. And they had plenty of them. There was a lot of false teaching going on in the early church as well. We just recited the Nicene Creed. You probably do it every Sunday and don't think much of it. But it's a very important particular creed that we recite. It is a statement against and a test of false teaching, believe it or not. The church's teaching is contained in that particular creed. And it worked through the centuries of councils of the church to come up with that very creed. The first of them was the Council of Nicaea in 325. Nobody thinks about that, but that very first council of bishops came together in Nicaea in 325 to discuss what was the nature of Christ himself. Was he divine? How do we get the divinity and the humanity of Christ into one person? Kind of a heavy discussion, but that's what that council determined. And the first parts of the Nicene Creed came from that council. So we have these sheep that still, or these particular prophets in sheep's clothing, if you will, still coming up today. Yeah, we probably don't recognize them, but there are still around. They're very charismatic, if you will. They want the church to, if you will, to be with it. And they say some very charismatic things. We, of course, in this jurisdiction, separated because of those very, if you will, false prophets that were in the church of the jurisdictions we were in. And they said some very nice things. But were they true? That's the question, isn't it? There are some bishops today that still deny the divinity of Christ. Believe it or not, they don't say, they still say that Jesus wasn't divine. He was a nice guy. He was a good man whose ideas applied to his time period that need to be updated and reinterpreted for today. And they even deny his bodily resurrection and say the virgin birth didn't occur. And they even make jokes about the Blessed Mother being an ever-virgin. Who would think that the Blessed Mother, someone would want to call someone ever-virgin blessed? Yeah, that's kind of funny, huh? Yeah, well, no, it's not. The church in these councils determined that she was ever virgin and that she there was a virgin birth, that the resurrection happened, and all of these things were determined doctrine of the church. They're not funny. They are the dogma and determination that the councils made, that that is the teaching of the church, and it's determined sayings. They're not funny, and they're not something that we throw away because it's not with it today. They are what the church has taught and always taught. So how do we know when we're hearing something that isn't true? How do we know we're supposed to follow something that is true and something that's false? Well, the church has told us before. There is something we could use. And there's an Anglican triad that we've always used, if you will, to determine that. Is it taught in Scripture? Is it taught in the Holy Tradition? And does it sound reasonable to us? Well, if we look at those three things, we can see if our teaching, someone is teaching something to us that's true or something is false. And if someone tells us that the resurrection didn't happen, well, isn't it in Scripture? Certainly, you can see it's in Scripture. The resurrection is all over the Scripture. Has it been taught by the church through the centuries? Yeah, kind of, sort of. And is it kind of reasonable to us? Well, they might argue that point, but kind of, we could kind of reason that would the disciples, would the apostles have gone to their death if they thought that it was a hoax? Would you? I wouldn't have. If I knew it was a hoax, would I have gone to my martyrdom over something I thought knew was a hoax? I wouldn't reasonably think so. Kind of reason that one out with your mind. If you knew Jesus had reasonably come back to life from a swoon on the cross, and you knew it all was a hoax, would you have gone to your death over something like that? Kind of reason that one out in your mind. I don't think so. They obviously knew that something miraculous had happened. They would have gone to their death over something they knew was false. Not me. I don't know about you. So take the reasoning there in your mind. That's what you have to do when you hear these charismatic preachers that come up and tell you something that you know isn't true. Think about it. Look at Scripture. Look at the teaching of the church. They will lead you in the right direction. And that's what you have to do when you hear some of this false teaching. Use these tests. They will teach you in the right direction. And it should be a warning to you that you're going to hear some of this false doctrine. It's been around forever. It's not something new. It started in the first century of the church. And it's something that will continue throughout history. It's not going to be something that's just started. John dealt with it in his gospel. He was dealing with heretics right then. He was trying to dispel it in his gospel. So it's not anything that's new. It's going to happen all the time. And Jesus is also telling us something else when he continues with his quote, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." What is the fruits of false teaching on the church? Well, that tells us something else. To observe what false prophets do. They usually do something instead of different from what the practice of the church is. They usually put upon us external religious practices. What does that mean? Well, instead of doing things like we should, they have a list of requirements of things. Instead of getting out in the community and doing services, we do things like internal things. We do things instead of being a church, being out in the community, being an example to the community, we start doing things like building giant buildings, having all these programs, music programs, music programs, entertainment programs, all of those sort of things. That is really not what Jesus, I think, intended for a church to be, is an entertainment center, not reaching out into the community. False teaching can do that. It produces an easy religion. So anytime you hear someone teaching that takes the cross out of Christianity, that eliminates the authority of Scripture, that tells you that you don't have to think about morals or lakes lightly of sin, you can be sure that it's probably taking you away from what the teaching of Holy Scripture tells you about. It's not probably in the path of what Christianity is really about. Christianity is not an easy religion. It never has been. It's about changing your soul and following in the path of Jesus Christ. And what did Jesus tell you? If you don't take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. And do you think that's easy? Uh-uh. Not going to be an easy path. And if you don't take up your cross and follow him, it's not going to be the path you should follow. And if someone is telling you it's going to be easy to be a Christian, that if it's you say certain words and you've got the holy ATM that's going to come out and give you all the cash you could possibly want, you're probably not following the correct path. I can tell you that's not the Christian way. It isn't going to happen. And I can tell you if you turn on the TV on Sunday, you're going to hear quite a few preachers telling you Say the right words and you'll find the holy ATM. That's not the rough proper way of the Christian path. The Christian path is a lot of work. You have to work at it. The other one is to telling you to separate yourselves from the world and be internal. That all those people out there are wicked. There's nothing you can do with them. Just stay away from them. That's not the Christian path either. No, you have to be out in the world. It's not to become part of the world. That's not the point either. You're not to become part of the world, but you are to be in the world. Jesus is telling us that we are to be out there to bring those people to Christ. We have to show forth our light to the world. Doesn't mean we have to go over there and beat them over the head with Bibles. No, that's not the point. We don't have to beat them into submission, but we do have to show forth our faith. He doesn't expect us to be perfect examples, because none of us are perfect. Heaven knows that. We're all sinners. We all have a path to go. We all have a long path to go, actually, to become part of the Christian kingdom. We all have to work on it. But he does expect us to make some effort to bring people to Christ. We have to grow to the point where we can freely give our hearts, minds, bodies, and souls to him. It's a long path. But he does expect us to show forth that light that's in our souls to those that are truly looking to be saved. And however we can do it. Sometimes it's just a simple invitation to someone that's looking for a place to go. Just to say to them, you look like you're lost. How about coming to church with me? Something as simple as that. Sometimes they're looking and that invitation might stick. You never know. Ask someone. It might have happened to someone here that a simple invitation brought them to church. You never know. This little place is a sanctuary for people that might be looking for a place to go. You might fill the place up. You never know. Could happen. We must not hold back. For everything a gift is given by Almighty God, by his love for us. He gives us the potential. We just sometimes have to use it. So he asks us, have we been studying the scripture and the teachings and praying? That's all he asks us to do. He asks us to take the sacraments when they're available, to give us the food and nourishment we need to strengthen our Christian souls. That's all he asks of us. That is how we become strengthened and become part of his body. That is what true Christianity is all about. It's as simple as that. So yes, we have to watch out for the ravening wolves that come in amongst the body. But we also have to do our part and try and bring those that have been, if you will, misled into the true body of Christ. That is the path we must be followed. We must follow to be safe from those ravening wolves and in under the protection of the Good Shepherd himself, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.